I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match.
Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. This is Chris Ann Hall. You know you can find me. You know where to find me. ChrisAnnHall.com. ChrisAnnHall.com. You can find me on Facebook. Same name. You can find me on Twitter, same bat channel. And here we are, once again, meeting the Liberty First Brigade meeting for our training. We are a teach show and not a talk show. And so I hope that you have come prepared to be educated. I am not here to entertain you. I'm sorry. I will not be regurgitating the news to you today. I'm sure you can turn on any talk channel and find that today. You'll find ad nauseum somebody giving commentary on what is happening in the mainstream media narrative, but I'm not doing that for you today because I think that it's more important that you be educated, on the truth and what is going on around you and how to discern the truth. Where do you find truth? And how do you know truth when you hear it? Where is your source of truth? Where do you go? Because I got bad news for you. Mainstream media, CNN, MSNBC, and I'm sorry, yes, Fox News, are all infested with people who are absolutely ignorant of how this government is supposed to be running and the operation of the Constitution and how our framers established this country. I'm going to tell you what. I would love to have an opportunity to teach Fox News correspondents, Fox News talking heads, the origin of our Constitution and the meaning that our framers put in it. Because it's absolutely stunning to me. You know, I'm laughing at myself today because the other day I said, I don't want to be that talk host that is angry and screaming and obnoxious. But, you know, I'm really restraining myself today because I'm very upset. But I'm not going to do this. I'm going to be calm and I'm going to be logical and straightforward. I'm going to give you the facts. And I'm going to present them to you in such a way that you will make your own decision. But today I'm here to tell you, I'm going to show you why I do not watch Fox. Why I cannot watch Fox. This is just one example of many that I hear over and over and over again. I wish that I could find that clip from Greta Van Susteren's show where she called... Samuel Adams really irrelevant to the foundation of our country, and after all, he was just a rabble-rouser who didn't do much of anything. Yes, Greta Van Susteren said that, and I wish I had the clip of that. I was traveling in a car when I heard that, and I wanted to cry. I absolutely wanted to cry. And then I was standing in somebody's house, because the only time I watch Fox is when somebody else makes me do it. And I'm standing in somebody's house, and I'm watching this guy that Fox has up on this round table. It was an evening show, so it wasn't really, you know, prime time kind of thing. It was something very late, and I don't think anybody really watched it, which was the only redeeming fact about the show, is that I was pretty confident that nobody in the world was watching it but me. And they had this round table going on, and they had this guy they called their constitutional expert, their go-to guy, they said. And he called the constitutional living, breathing document, and then laid out the premise for the Constitution being a living, breathing document. I mean, I don't understand this. And then they bring these people, these congressmen on, even Dick Durbin they bring on the show, and they allow him to say things like, what is press? We know the AP is press. We know Fox is press. But are bloggers press? Are tweeters press? He says, we need to ask 21st century questions about a document that was written over 200 years ago. And those kind of ignoramus statements go completely unchallenged. What is the matter with these people? I mean, this is why I can't listen to them. Because it makes my blood pressure go up. You know why it makes my blood pressure go up? Because so many people are watching them. So many people give them credibility. And they have such an enormous power. Can you imagine what would happen? The power, the change that could happen if Fox News sponsored a weekend event, Chris Ann Hall teaches the Bill of Rights. Can you imagine the change that would occur in this country if we were able to broadcast my Saturday workshop on Fox? I mean, I'm just asking. And I'm not going around bragging on my deeds. This is not about me. It's because I understand the message is so compelling. You know what? You don't have to hear it from me. You ask anybody who has heard and sat through my weekend workshop. Please just find somebody. Go on Facebook and send out the message. Hey, anybody seen Chris Ann Hall's Saturday workshop? Anybody seen Chris Ann Hall teach anything? If you have, please let me know what you thought. And I'll let their testimony speak, because it's not about me. It's about how powerful the truth in this message is. And can you imagine the power? Can you imagine the change that would overcome our conservative nation if they actually got the truth on the Bill of Rights? I mean, seriously, what would happen? So I'm going to give you this clip, which proves to you why I cannot watch Fox, because my blood pressure goes through the roof and I get angry and I get upset that people with such awesome power ignore their responsibility. Absolutely ignore their responsibility. I cannot watch Fox, and no, not even Megyn Kelly. I know you love her. I know she's pretty to look at. I know that she's quick-witted. I know that she's sharp. I know that she's smart. She's extremely intelligent. She is skilled at what she does. Look how quickly she became who she became. I am not taking away from what her skills are, but she, just like the rest of them at Fox, is completely ignorant about the Constitution, the role of the government, the role that the president plays, the roles that Congress plays, the role that the Supreme Court plays. And in this interview with Chris Steierwald, she proves that. And I don't know, someone please send Megyn Kelly a copy of my book, Sovereign Duty, please. Like 30 people send her the copy, so maybe she'll actually read it. Somebody send Megyn Kelly my website so that she can get educated. I can send it to her, but she's not going to pay any attention to me because, you know, I'm just, then I'd be just grandstanding, right? I'm just wanting something from her. I don't want anything from Megyn Kelly except for her to become educated on the Constitution and stop being part of the problem. Because, you see, if you allow statements like what Chris Steierwald's about to say, just hang out there. Not just hang out there, but say, agree with it. Say you're right. You're right, Chris. You're absolutely right. You allow statements like that to hang, and you are part of the problem. You are part of the destruction of this country. I want to know how many people heard this interview with Megyn Kelly and Chris Steierwald, and then in the conservative circles, and then went off and repeated, oh, well, you know, this is what the framers did. This is how the framers set up the role of the president. I mean, I just, boom, goes my head. So I'm just going to play it for you. I'm just going to play it for you because I can't talk about it anymore until you hear it. So listen.
Well, look, we've had a lot of people talking about, Republicans have been talking about president as a king, the president thinks he's a monarch, the president thinks he's an emperor. If you look at the way our framers and our founders embedded the presidency into our civic culture, the president in many ways has more power than a monarch in a parliamentary society. Our president has enormous authority. He has, in the nuclear era, the power to destroy the whole world. That is how much authority and how much power our system puts on the president. The check on the president is twofold. One, what can the Congress do to him? But two, what does he as a man, what is his integrity and how is he bound to tradition and to everything else? If he doesn't care about that second part, there's very little to constrain the man.
That's right. That's right.
And that was the sound of my head exploding. That's right. That's right. Are you stinking kidding me? There was absolutely nothing that he said that was right. Every single statement that he said was absolutely wrong. I mean, you couldn't get more wrong. If he were a liberal, he couldn't get more wrong. The president has enormous power. And our founders did this. Okay, our founders embedded the presidency in our political society so that the president has more power than a monarch in a parliamentary system. Absolutely stinking not. And as a matter of fact, they wrote volumes about why he is not. Absolutely not. In this day and age, look at in a nuclear age, the president has the power to destroy the world. No, he doesn't, actually. The president cannot drop a nuclear bomb on his own. That is not a power that the president has. How ignorant can you be? And then this guy is on Fox. This guy is on Fox, and Megyn Kelly is saying, you're right. You're absolutely right. And this is why I can't watch Fox. So guess what? We are going to learn why our president is not a monarch. We're going to learn today from the framers. You know, the ones who created the monarch, right? Ah!
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
If you look at the way our framers and our founders embedded the presidency into our civic culture, the president in many ways has more power than a monarch in a parliamentary society. Our president has enormous authority.
You know what? He absolutely does not have enormous authority. As a matter of fact, the president of the United States, the executive branch, is vested with less power than Congress. And if we can classify the president's power as enormous, then what do we classify the power of Congress? Limitless? Perhaps. That's where we are today. But that is not what the founders did. You see, there is a very interesting argument about having a president. You know, there was actually a discussion on whether we should have a tribunal, a committee, or a single president. And there were many reasons why they took this single person approach. But because they had settled on the single person approach, there was a lot of pushback. A lot of pushback. And they were afraid. There were many that were afraid that if we create a single president, a single person president, we will devolve into a monarchy. No matter how hard we tried, no matter what precautions we took, there were framers who were afraid that by creating a one-man executive, that the precautions would be ignored, that the boundaries would be usurped, and we would be left with a monarch. And unfortunately, because we don't teach this truth, we don't sit down and teach the debates that took place. We don't sit down and show how the concerns were alleviated with the boundaries and with the precautions. We have actually fallen into the very consequences that we tried to avoid. We have fulfilled their warnings, their concerns, as if they were prophecy. Now I'm going to read to you the warnings, because without the warnings, the precautions mean nothing. And so this comes from Cato number 4, an anti-federalist paper as we classify them today. And here's the warning. The deposit of vast trusts in the hands of a single magistrate enables him in their exercise to create a numerous train of dependents. This tempts his ambition, which in a Republican magistrate is also remarked to be pernicious, and the duration of his office for any considerable time favors his view. Gives him the means and the time to perfect and execute his designs. Look, this was written before the House of the Executive was created. Is this not exactly describing what we have right now? He therefore fancies that he may be great and glorious by oppressing his fellow citizens and raising himself to permanent grandeur on the ruins of his country. And here it may be necessary to compare the vast and important powers of the president together with his continuance in office with the foregoing doctrine. His eminent magisterial situation will attach many adherents to him, and he will be surrounded by expectants and courtiers. His powers of nomination and influence on all appointments, the strong posts in each state comprised with his superintendents, and garrisoned by his troops under his direction, his control over the army, militia, and the navy, the unrestrained power of granting pardons for treason, which may be used to screen from punishment those whom he had secretly instigated to commit the crime. I mean, seriously, people, I am not making this up. You can go look this up for yourself. This is Cato number 4. And thereby prevent discovery of his own guilt. His duration in office for 4 years, these and various other principles evidently prove the truth of the position that if the president is possessed of ambition, he has power and time sufficient to ruin his country. Cato continues then by describing the dangers of the powers vested in the executive, not just simply through the will of the man alone, but through the collaboration of Congress with the president. See, he believed that the president would not work alone for long, that there would be a collaboration, a consolidation of power in the entire federal government through the executive branch and its cooperation with Congress. And then you'll get the biggest warning when you come back.
My mom always said I was born for this, and some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, cause she filled me with love and the strength to live. She said,
the Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back. We are discussing Megyn Kelly's interview with Chris Steirwald, and how Chris Steirwald didn't get any of it right. He actually voiced the concerns of the anti-federalists as if that's exactly what we created, but it's not what we created. It's not what our framers did. Going on. Cato number four is telling us the dangers of the presidency, and he says, "Will not the exercise of these powers therefore tend either to the establishment of a vile and arbitrary aristocracy or a monarchy? The safety of the people in a republic depends on the share or proportion they have in government. But experience ought to teach you that when a man is at the head of an elective government invested with great powers and interested in his re-election, in what circle appointments will be made, by which an imperfect aristocracy bordering on a monarchy may be established." You see, they knew the danger of this elected official. And they were asking, how are you going to keep this president from becoming more powerful than a king? James Madison gives us another warning and tells us in his warning why the president doesn't have the power that Starwald says. Listen to this. I'm going to replay this to you, and then I'm going to put that juxtaposition to what Madison says.
If you look at the way our framers and our founders embedded the presidency into our civic culture, the president in many ways has more power than a monarch in a parliamentary society. Our president has enormous authority. He has, in the nuclear era, the power to destroy the whole world.
You know what? He does not have that power. And James Madison tells us why. Madison says, "The Constitution supposes what the history of all governments demonstrates, that the executive is the branch of power most interested in war and most prone to it. It has accordingly studied with care, vested the question of war in the legislature." It says the Constitution studied with care, vested the question of war in the legislature. President does not have the power to blow up people without the legislators, without Congress. This is one distinction between a president and a king, and just yet another reason why Starwald is completely wrong. So now we need to hear from Alexander Hamilton, the big government guy, right? He's going to tell us why the president, he's responding to Cato 4, he's going to tell us why the president is not who Cato says he is, why the precautions that we have created within the Constitution will not create a king, but a president limited by Congress and limited by the people. He says the president is to be the commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the United States. In this respect, his authority would be nominally the same with that of the King of Great Britain, but in substance much inferior to it. Much inferior to it, he said. It'll amount to nothing more than the supreme command and direction of the military and naval forces as first general and admiral of the Confederacy, while that of the British king extends to the declaring of war and to the raising and regulating of fleets and armies, all which, by the Constitution, are under consideration, would appertain to the legislature. You see this? The president is substantially inferior to the king because the only power the president has over the army and the military forces is to be the general or the admiral. Every other aspect of the military is under the power of Congress. He says the president of the United States would be an officer elected by the people for 4 years. The King of Great Britain is a perpetual and hereditary prince. The one would be amenable to personal punishment and disgrace. The person of the other is sacred and inviolable. The one would have a qualified negative upon the acts of the legislative body. The other has an absolute negative. You're seeing these checks. The president is not a king because he can be punished and disgraced. The king cannot. The president is not a king because he cannot absolutely undo what Congress does. He cannot do what they won't do. And he can't undo what they've done. That's only left with the king. The one would have a right to command the military and naval forces of the nation. The other, in addition to this right, possesses that of declaring war and raising and regulating fleets and armies by his own authority. the president cannot do that by his own authority. He just commands where they go and what and how they operate. Once Congress has declared war, raised the army, and regulated it. The one would have concurrent power with a branch of the legislature in the formation of treaties. The other is the sole possessor of the power of making treaties. See, the president cannot create treaties. As much as he would like to make the UN Small Arms Treaty law simply because he wants it, he cannot, because he doesn't have the power of the king. This is why we have to understand this, why Fox is destroying this country with their ignorance, by perpetuating this stuff. One would have a like concurrent authority in appointing offices. The other is the sole author of all appointments. The president can't appoint people. He doesn't have the power to do that. He has to do that with the permission of the Senate. The one can confer no privileges whatsoever, and the other can make denizens of aliens, noblemen of commoner, and noblemen of commoners. Wow, look at that. Denizens of aliens. Are you catching this? The president does not have the power to naturalize citizens. That's the power of a king. One can erect corporations. The king can erect corporations with all the rights and incidents to corporate bodies. The president can't do that. The president cannot erect corporations. That's a king. The one can... Oh, here's a really important one. The one can prescribe no rules concerning the commerce or currency of the nation, because that's supposed to be Congress. The other is in several respects the arbiter of commerce, and in this capacity can establish markets and fairs and regulate weights and measures, can lay embargoes for a limited time, can coin money, can authorize or prohibit the circulation of foreign coin. The one has no particular spiritual jurisdiction. The other is the supreme head and governor of the national church. Your president cannot dictate to you what you believe, what you can believe, and what you cannot believe. That's a king. What answer, Hamilton says, shall we give to those who persuade us that these things so unlike resemble each other? The same that ought to be given to those who tell us that a government, the whole power of which would be in the hands of elected and periodical servants of the people, is an aristocracy, a monarchy, and despotism. There is a huge distinction between a president, a huge distinction between a president and a king. And it makes a difference that you know that. It makes a difference that Fox teaches that. To whom much is given, Megyn Kelly, much is required. And I'm going to tell you what. We had better start getting it right. We had better start teaching the truth, or we are going to keep repeating these lies. How can you not be frustrated when you hear Fox repeating these lies? I mean, seriously, help me here. Listen to this. Listen to this. The man never said anything true. And listen to this.
The check on the president is twofold. One, what can the Congress do to him? But two, what does he as a man, in what is his integrity, and how is he bound to tradition and to everything else? If he doesn't care about that second part, there's very little to constrain the man.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely wrong. That is completely, utterly, ridiculously wrong. You think that we created a president whose only real check and balance is his own moral conscience? Are we that absolutely, fundamentally, ridiculously ignorant? Come on now. You got to give these people a little bit more credit. That's not what they did. That is a king. They went through great efforts to not have a king. Megyn Kelly, that is not right. Oh my God. Goodness, that is not right. You just heard Alexander Hamilton, the big government guy, tell you that the check and balance on the president at every single turn is Congress. This guy, Chris Steierwald, just blows off Congress. Well, you know, I mean, it's just Congress. What is Congress going to do? But the real check and balance is himself? Are you freaking kidding me? Come on. they don't really believe this. They don't. God, help me. They don't really believe this. This is just meant for entertainment, right? This is just meant to stir you up. This is just perpetuating lies. They cannot believe this. How is this? I mean, I don't understand. How can you profess somebody to have such credibility who doesn't say anything at all? That's true. And as a matter of fact, he says lies. It's one thing to say something that's not true, but it's another thing to be flat out lies. The Congress is the check and balance on all of the federal government. And the people are the check on Congress. This Chris Steyerwald has actually disarmed the people of all their power and told us that we have a king. I mean, how do you not cry over something like this? How do you not just weep at the ignorance and the destruction? What a waste of potential. What a waste of good. Megyn Kelly, please get educated. Please. You have a moral obligation here. I'm begging you, Megyn Kelly. Begging you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
The check on the president is twofold. One, what can the Congress do to him? But two, what does he as a man, what is his integrity and how is he bound to tradition and to everything else? If he doesn't care about that second part, there's very little to constrain the man.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, seriously, you know, I guess the real problem here is this. Congress has been so spineless, has declared themselves to be irrelevant and impotent for so long. We now believe they are. We now have people who profess themselves to be experts, people who are supposed to be dedicated to the truth. Megyn Kelly tells us she's supposed to be dedicated to the truth. That's the whole purpose for her Kelly report, is to bring us the truth that nobody else is bringing us. And this is where we are now. The lie has been spoken for so long that it has now become the truth. And what they don't realize, in the depth of their ignorance, is that they have just proclaimed us a monarchy. They've absolutely just proclaimed us a kingdom. Chris Steyerwald, the people have no power. Did you hear the people mentioned in that check on the president? There was no mention of the people on the check of the president. And the Congress was just blown off as if it was no real check at all. Because according to Chris Steyerwald and Megyn Kelly, the only check on the president is his own stinking conscience, really. Oh my goodness. May God have mercy on us if that's the case. Because when the government is not constrained by the Constitution. Where was the check on the Constitution? The people, the Constitution were never even mentioned in Chris Steyerwald's check on the president. When the government is not constrained by the Constitution, when the government is not constrained by the people, when government is not constrained by the boundaries placed upon it, then the only limitation on government is itself, its own will. And that's what Chris Steyerwald has said. The only real check on the president is his own will. And when the only limitation on the body of the government or a man in government is his own will, that's not a republic, people. That is not a republic. That is a kingdom. A totalitarian kingdom. I have to ask you, Liberty First Brigade, I have to ask you, is that who you want to be? If it's not who you want to be, then you need to dispute Megyn Kelly and these lies. You need to hold her accountable. To whom much is required, to whom much is given, much is required here. And they ought not get away with this. Look, I'm one voice screaming in a vacuum. I really do. I feel like that one voice screaming in a vacuum, but I know Liberty First Brigade. I know you are out there. I know you are there. Please, can we please send Megyn Kelly this podcast 4,000 times? Can we please send her this? I'm begging you. Your children are begging you. Your grandchildren are begging you. Or your posterity is begging you to proclaim the truth. Do not, please do not allow this lie to just simply float out there. Because you see, the liberals love this lie. Congress loves this lie. This lie exonerates them. It alleviates them of any responsibility whatsoever. See, we have no real check. It's the president and his conscience. You just need to be better people electing a better president. And that's why you need to support the Republican Party in 2016, because we need to have a president with conscience, because the only check and balance on the president is your conscience. Ah! If you've ever done anything in the name of liberty, Liberty First Brigade, pick up the sword and send this message to Megyn Kelly, please. Let's get some truth in Fox, please. Light it up. Bonfire. Boom.